the drums with his all-time big record of Fly to Home. It's Lionel Hampton. Lionel.
When the war was over, everybody took home to America with a free feeling, and Lionel Hampton expressed it. So I thought, maybe we need a fresh air today as well, because there are so much sorrows, and let's put the theme under Lionel Hampton. Maybe I tell 10 minutes where I'm coming from, and oh, maybe you introduce me. Oh, super, super. He introduced
me. È una performance, quindi va bene iniziare in questo modo. Io sono Rocco Moliterni, sono un giornalista della Stampa, sono molto contento di fare qui gli onori di casa, proprio per questo spazio incontri della Stampa, per questa che prima avevamo chiamato Lectio Magistralis, ma in realtà sarà una performance di Thomas Bayer, che dialogherà tra l'altro con Sara Kosulic, che è la direttrice di Artissima, come tutti sapete. Dicevo, sono molto contento di questa occasione, del fatto che ospitiamo nello spazio della Stampa l'artista che avrete tutti saputo, ha fatto, e immagino avete già tutti anche visto, l'installazione che ha fatto all'aeroporto. Non ha bisogno di molte presentazioni perché è un grande dell'arte contemporanea. Secondo me la scelta di Artissima di affidare a lui una installazione in un luogo come l'aeroporto è stata una scelta felicissima, perché incontra anche una delle anime di questa città, no? Questa città che è una città della tecnologia, è una città della scienza, e ospita in un luogo come l'aeroporto un artista che sulla scienza e sulla tecnologia, soprattutto sulla tecnologia, ha molto lavorato, mentre forse a Torino a volte su questo non si è tanto riflettuto e non sono mai nate tante opere d'arte su questo tema. Io ricordo di aver visto l'ultima Documenta, installazione e i luoghi che fece, le opere che presentò Thomas, e mi avevano affascinato veramente tantissimo, e il mega aeroplano di cui abbiamo nell'installazione il backstage e i motori. Però il protagonista è lui, quindi io lascio la parola a Sara e a Thomas perché vanno avanti e ci raccontino delle cose.
Grazie. Grazie Rocco, grazie per la tua introduzione. I'm going to speak English. It's going to be an English presentation, although Thomas speaks Italian quite fluently. Thank you to La Stampa for hosting us this afternoon. I think it's a great opportunity to have Thomas here with us. It's a great opportunity for us to have Thomas in Torino, to have Thomas thinking about a surprising project, a project which we could have never anticipated. We just found the ideal venue, I would say, for Thomas to express himself. And I would like to thank, of course, the airport and Roberto Barbieri, because thanks to this fantastic collaboration, which was very open from the beginning, I had the feeling I could invite Thomas and very much accompany him in his process and the development here in and development of his work here in Torino. I thought that because of Thomas's relevance, because of his work, because of his personality, because of the depth of his work, I thought it would be interesting to add to the project in the airport, to his project in the airport, also something on the side, in order to allow him to tell us more about how it all came together. I just have to say that I've been very honored to be able to work with Thomas on this project. It's been a fantastic adventure, and it's been also everything has been very spontaneous. It started in June, and now here we are with an artwork in the baggage claim airport of Torino, Torino airport. And we are now at Artissima, a public, a commercial fair, creating all these super unexpected connection. So I don't want to say anything or add anything, because I think that this particular occasion, it's fantastic to be able to listen to Thomas speak of himself and of his work. So thank you very much to all of you for being here, and thank you again, Thomas, for what you have brought with your spirit and your ideas, and also, why not, you know, your courage here to us in Torino. Thank you.
Yeah. It's, I'm an old man. I work since 50 years. And I used to start my so-called career in a weavery. And it was a textile weavery. And I was, I had the chance to work on Schacht machines. These are machines which are able to do very complex fabrics. And a square meter of fabric might have 80,000 threads by 80,000 threads. And if it is a Schacht, it's possible to have thousands of different ups and downs, weft and warp, so much complex individual realities that I found for my work, or for my view, the flatness is one of the main things, and also the complexity of weaving. But not only in this case of what threads are able to do among each other, but also from rhythm, from mental feelings. So this experience grabbed me as a whole figure, and it was the start of my work, was this view. Which is a different view. I didn't have any education in an art school. I just was in an apprentice way, in a practice situation for advertising company or so. And so my experience was not too classical. It was more a wild starting and taking off. Are you understanding me?
Allora, quando qualcuna volta anche provo un po' di parlare italiano, ma in questo momento quando it starts to be complex, è finito.
This airplane project is a result of almost 50 years of experience. The first my interest was mass society, mass communication, mass production, and also mass complexity. And even if it's looking alike. So come back to this fabric. When I stood there in the front of the machine, day by day, I had to kind of melt in with the machines, not be against it. As I started, I was against it, but then I felt you have to kind of sneak into it, to its rhythm, to its sensitivity. The machine has a sensitivity as well. So it came to make a short last comment on that area, which was in the end of the 50s. I had the feeling that these thousands of threads, one day they were some kind of a city, like 20 times Los Angeles. Streets, crossings. So like millions of streets. The threads were all of a sudden streets. And even I could imagine cars on these streets. And now we are already coming to these vulgar things which I'm working on. It's cars, airplanes, and iPhones. Really stupid, I know. But it is our world. And it's not so stupid when you dive into these things. And one of the main works in many, many years was the time when I found out that I can work with photocollage. The photocollages I made myself. I came from toys. I photographed toys to get maybe 4 or 5 houses and even a piece of street and a piece of railway track. And that was enough to make very complex cities. This was really like painting then, but always the same tools in different ways put together. And after I had started in the beginning of the 70s, I had these tools already done. Then I started with more complex things. A thing which is called mapping today was that I liked to see my mother covered with telephones. I don't know why. We had no telephone. My mother never had made a phone call, but I liked it. And I liked to see her as well covered with windows. And so it was something like if you have a mass of 10,000, you still can have them flat. If the mass is increasing to 50,000, they must bow into the space. So they came out like a three-dimensional ball. So I had to cover this ball, and to cover this ball, that was the first time I needed mapping. And this mapping was done about 10 years. And after that, I said, there must be a method. One day there will be a machine which will help me mapping. But those days there was no machine. So I made a kind of a machine myself by printing on latex rubber images and distorting these images with several hands. For instance, the hands of my wife, the hands of 4 or 5 students. This is what you see out there in the airports. You see all these fingers and hands crashing on this piece of printed latex rubber. And I needed it, I wanted it, because I had a big airplane and I wanted to map it with small airplanes. And those small airplanes had been mapped with even smaller airplanes. So why airplane, you know? There's nothing more stupid than cars and airplanes and iPhones. But I was fascinated from the beginning on, because it is our society, and this society already started in the beginning of the 60s. And then, maybe you have also questions once a while, or maybe you may interrupt me. Huh? It's so boring if somebody is only talking himself.
Not boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this what you see out there in the airport is really a great pleasure which was given to me by the airport, by Zara, and my fantasy as well. Because I thought, you have never been offered a better place than an airport to bring an airplane belongs to airport, so what? And many airplanes belong to many airplanes in airports, and everywhere are airplanes, and so this was the best location. And then the worst location in this airport is the luggage claim area, where everybody is bored and waiting till his luggage is coming along. So that once several of them are nervous, other ones are bored. But I like it very much to have this meditative coming along of the luggage. And it's not mine. It was yellow as well, but mine has a scratch, or mine has a little blue sign. So and all this after a long journey, this picking up of the luggage, and well, it's great. It's what you see there, is a box of rest airplanes from the big airplane which was made in 1983. And I had some mistakes and also some not fitting ones or even doubled ones. And these are in a box. This is about that box. And I conserved them all the time. And now I have this wonderful reality and possibility to really enlarge them. And when you enlarge them in such a perfect way, like it is here done, thanks to the city, thanks to the airport, thanks to all of them which are connected with it, it's really strong. I was absolutely fascinated when I saw it. Maybe this is the first chapter.
Can I interrupt you just a second? Yeah. Because this is
work from the past, yeah.
But I would like to tell to the public a little bit the day when you came in Torino and we went through the baggage claim and Thomas was looking around and I was a little bit worried and I was thinking, yes, maybe we can paint this area white, maybe we can cover the doors, maybe there's going to be a way to take out the advertising. Maybe, I don't know, Thomas, I'm pretty sure that the airport is going to be quite flexible in thinking about the space. And I was looking at Roberto Barbieri saying, what can we do? And Thomas all of a sudden said, let's leave everything there as it is. I'm not going to compete with advertising or with the signals like, you know, security exits, toilets here and there. Let's leave it. And this, I think, is quite fantastic, you know, how you manage to work with the system, with what you have, and not fight against it, because it's all kind of in your work, you know, this message.
Yeah, I think this is a good thing, that I never tried to really work against the system, but more with it, against it. Together with it and turn it around, and then you still more subversive. A subversive way of fighting might be in our intellectual areas are maybe it's better than crying and announcing and being disturbed. So this is because it's everything is anyhow something. The advertising is necessary for the airport. It couldn't live without it. So why fight against it? And also the company which made this work for me is the same company which does the advertising. So why Why should they fight against themselves? And all these small things came together, but I must really confess, it is among my best works I ever have done. Thank you. Yeah, it's really super. And I didn't know that it turns out so fine.
And it's the first time that the process is visible, the human presence, the fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is also a very important thing, because sure, I'm a social engaged man, also in my other themes. I was always interested in work procedures. I was here in this city, in Mirafiori, when there were the big fights with the unions and Agnelli. And I must confess, I saw both sides. I saw Agnelli. He was a very intelligent man, and he was partly too intelligent for the fighting methods of the unions. On the other hand, the unions were totally right. They fought for their rights. They fought for money. They fought for all sorts of. So I think I could see in this city very early a total clear positioning fight of into social fields, but also I saw the intelligence of the family of Agnelli, because he invented the wholesale before the Japanese. He was the first one to make cars and noodles and other things, and from one company which was several years later adopted in Japan. So in Europe have been quite good inventions, and it was very stimulating me. Also the stimulating of was the rationality of the city, and this straightness which is not necessarily too loud. It's quite a temperament. And that is visible in the arts, in the collections. Already those days, especially those days, it was clearly the best city for artists to have a look at. And I made my show at in Apollinaire in Milano in '68, but I was clearly seeing. They compete, these two cities, but maybe there is a slight more sophistication here. But this is not to give you a thank you. It's just what I thought.
Yeah. We are going to use this quote for Torino. No? We'll keep that in mind when we're going to be asked.
No.
Yeah, but also the your show in Milano in '68, and some of the connections that happened at that time when you were so young, and who introduced you to Guido Lenoci, Galleria Apollinaire. That's maybe also something to hear.
Yeah, I must open it with a thank you to this paese grande. I was influenced by themes like Rimini. I went to Rimini with my family, and I counted the umbrellas, and I measured how many meters one umbrella to the next, how many people under each, and they said, come on, swim with us, don't do this stupid research. But this research was so important for me, because it was really, I dived into this mass communication and this mass tourism. And in this case, we had the luck to meet Lucio Fontana already in 1963 at a big show in Frankfurt, when there were 50 Europäische Avantgarde. That was a very great show. And we met him, my wife and me, and He was totally sympathetic with us. We were young people and had nothing in, not very much to show. But he introduced me all of a sudden to his gallerist Guido Lenocci in Milano and said, why don't you exhibit this young man? And then Guido Lenocci came to Frankfurt 2 years later, and he loved some of my stuff, and then he said, let's make a show in the next 2 years. And in 68, and he came in 66 already, and in 68 I had my presentation here, and it was a very generous representation. And so I want to say, this country is beautiful in food, like, yeah, risotti and all the things, you know. I like to cook risottis myself, yes. But also la bacala and cioccolata anche, sì, ma specialmente le cose vere, sì. And also, it is clearly, I have a work of Dorazio. I saw a work here of Dorazio, yeah. I have it since 1961. It was very cheap these days. Yeah, it's not anymore. And so we had, and sure we have met Fontana, Lucio Fontana in Milano. We visited him. It was, why did this man care for me? It was, I have to only say thank you forever. And he came to Frankfurt, had a show, another one, and it was a friendship, but he had so many friends, it was not necessary to be friends with us as well, but he did it. He was such a free man, yeah. And what else? All the themes, like Agnelli, like the mass tourism, but also political things, like the Agnelli in Fiat jungle. I made a painting in Fiat jungle when this is kind of this fight against the unions and opposite, and so on and so on. And then I made a huge painting, Mota, for sure. Yeah, Mota is wonderful, was wonderful. And most of my themes went together with the Chinese experience, because at the same time I was very much interested in the Chinese revolution in Mao. My first Mao was in 65, and in 66 another one. So and Mota was painted with Chinese. They were all Chinese. And I thought, the people ask me, why are they Chinese? It's Italian. Yes, but I need the yellow dots. So I had, they have had all yellow faces, and it was a yellow a grid, and I needed the yellow, so the Chinese were in already. And so this is a little bit how I merge things. And but this merging was not only always, well, was not only welcomed, you know, I was also sometimes misunderstood. let him do it. And I'm so thankful that I'm not misunderstood anymore. Thank you very much.
Yes, is there any question for Thomas? I would have many, but I have more opportunities constantly. Yes, so.
Thomas, I was wondering if you could say something about the title of the piece in the airport, Flying Home, because maybe it has to do something with your affection for Italy, but perhaps there was also some other conceptual connotation to it. I was talking to Sarah earlier about it, and I was saying it's interesting that he chose flying home, because normally it's all about flying away and go to this place or go to that place, what advertising does, no? And
yeah,
here it's actually something else that you are highlighting, no?
Yeah, for first I was very much interested in jazz. In very early, when I was 18, I was trying to play the alto horn, and I was a fan of all these people, Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins, and also him. So this came clearly from the my affinity to jazz. But on the other hand, after the war, this flying home is something positive. It is not flying away. I think it's very good when we fly home again, to come, not to escape, but more come back to us and strengthen our reality here, instead of bringing it wherever to. We need to fly home also spiritual, to our culture, to our reality in this world, and not look too much on the others and not be jealous on them. We have a lot of possibilities as well here. We just have to take advantage of them. That's a little bit behind this title. Okay. Thank you very much for having me.
Stefano has a question. Sorry.
I was just curious, because you before mentioned the jacquard, and then also the relationship with the streets, and you mentioned Los Angeles, and yeah, I know there was a strong community of German artists and writers that were like in LA, so I was wondering if you had any contact with them, or you went there also yourself in the 60s, for example.
Yeah, first the first was that I was very early in Japan. I was already in 78, a longer time there, and I taught there, I went about 10, 15 times to Japan, even longer periods, like half a year, to Yamagata, because of teaching. And they were also the first ones to understand my mentality in a way. And the second thing is America, that I went to with my family to San Francisco. Yeah, we went an entire year to San Francisco in 1980 and 81. And for that, I wrote for a Frankfurt newspaper, Letters from San Francisco, yeah. And this was very fresh and very important. Also, our children, they went to schools there. And once in a while, you have to set yourself aside into another society. Also, sure, we went to New York for several months in the 80s then. But actually, I'm a very home boy. I'm a Frankfurt boy and nothing else. Yes, it's really boring, but it's fine for me. I work there, and it's okay. But my wife is always driving that we should go abroad again for a while. So thank you to my wife. Yeah.
Yes, we also would like to thank Helke so much, because Thomas and Helke is really, they're really like a couple, and Helke's presence is so important. It's been so important in this project as well. Actually, also maybe it's an occasion to say something about the backstage, because project,
yeah,
in a way, it's a little bit, it's about the backstage. You see the human implicit presence in the work,
yeah,
which has been so important, because everything in your work has been very much a collaboration. And that's also for me,
yeah,
a little chance to thank everybody that's been involved in this project, because they've been so importantly behind it, and maybe they're not visible, but they are part of it, you know, so the backstage.
No, this is very important for me. It is not a sentimental thing, but a reality that you have helpers. And these helpers are usually cut away. They are not visible. And I was trying to do that different, because it is really the great help. And in this case, you see all the helpers. You see the hands which have been cut away usually. And for sure, I couldn't have done it myself. I had somebody to take the photos. I had to have the helpers which were every day helping me for the montage, for the distortion, for everything. And the good thing here in the airport was that I could kind of put this on the situation of the airport. I see these hands also as the backstage workers which keep an airport march ready. You know, there's thousands of people helping to make it go, to make the system go. Not only from the last one who's cleaning the airplane and putting new newspapers and to the so-called pilot or whatever. They all help to make this system run. And most of our systems today are collective systems. And this comes still from the that I saw this fighting of the unions was not so much inspired as they had only one view. Here are the workers and here are the commanders. It is a very, very complex mix. It is a mix, and the quality of a culture is as more as the mix is complex, as more a society is able to be elastic like the rubber. So in this case, you see all those helpers, and not a cutaway, and they bring the dramacy into the world as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the beginning of your life. How did you recognize your talent, and how did you decide to pursue it, to pursue an artistic, I don't know if you like to call it career, but an artistic life. So, but the most important is, how do you mm-hmm. recognize you had that talent and people also understood that?
Yeah, I can tell you, I was a long time doubting if I'm an artist at all. I was really doubting, it's not just an elegant question now. If I really had ability to be an artist, and I was actually escaping into advertising field, into policy connections, into literature, into all sorts of surrounding areas. We had no painter or no artist as friend. We had only writers and literature. People which came from other areas, like musicians and so. And I think this is not so bad to not so early be sure if it is this or if it is not. And actually, I tell you what, my students told me that I'm a painter. Yes, they said, it's not so bad what you do. Because I was absolutely doubting if this is something or not. It's still up to date sometimes, you know. So, yeah, some people say this is very interesting. I say, oh, I didn't know it. So from now on I know it, and then I see it. So I will see this as advantage and as a good situation for people, young people, that they are not so sure. And that it's not the goldsmith system, you know, which says you do this and then you come out as a top artist. I'm still doubting in this. This is a profession which you not can just learn. Bravo, arrivederci, tante belle cose.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. Maybe we should talk about this. Just say what it is.
You might question it.
Yeah, well, during our long discussion, you know, we had then the discussion took up almost a year. And then it went like, we should make only 10 panels, or we should put the panels more to the left. And then maybe the security said there should be this right panel should go to the right, there should be possible for the people to go through, and so on and so on. And then I said, why not skip it and make a chocolate for the children, make the whole thing for the children. And then I said, let's make airplanes on chocolate. And there was this wonderful man here,
Guido Gobino, the chocolatier of Torino.
He immediately said yes. So I actually wanted to turn it into a show for the children a while. Yes, at least a month. But then they came back, she came back and said, no, not skip it so fast. Make both. Make sweet chocolate and for the children, for the adult children, and make airplanes for the adults as well.
So we have a Lufthansa chocolate bar
and
here.
Wonderful dummy. It's a great engraving. It's my first airplane from 1982. Is engraved there. It's the Lufthansa airplane. Yeah.
Benissimo, io ringrazio tutti. Vorrei dire ancora una cosa: l'installazione sarà visibile fino al 28 di maggio, vero?
Exactly,
all'aeroporto
sì, questo è importante
di Caselle.
This work is not just in the installation of Thomas flying home in the airport. It's not going to be only during Altissima. It's a site-specific project which will stay until the 28th of May. So it's a presence in Torino that. It's going to be with us for quite some time, and this is also special, you know, when you do a fair, on Sunday everything is taken down, and we get depressed, and this time we will not be depressed, because we will have flying home to welcome us for a while, home.
Grazie per la città, grazie all'aeroporto, grazie alla gente, grazie alla feria, grazie a tutti.
Soprattutto grazie a Thomas.
Tante belle cose. Allora cominciamo di essere felici. Ciao.
Grazie.
Grazie assolutamente a Thomas per questa installazione, per quello che ci ha
detto. Grazie alla stampa per averci supportato e per averci seguito.
Grazie a voi. Ricordo solo che il prossimo appuntamento qui per la stampa nel Meeting Point è domani alle 18.30, in cui presenteremo i finalisti del concorso Sunday Panthers che abbiamo lanciato sul giornale. Ci sarà Francesco.